WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. On cable this month, Turner Classic Movies is presenting a series of movies with jazz connections. As it happens, our jazz critic Kevin Whitehead has a new book about movies that tell jazz stories. Here's his defense of a much maligned film genre, the jazz biopic, screen biographies of jazz musicians.
All right, let's get to work. I got only one suggestion to make, Benny. If you're going to be a band leader, you ought to change your name.
Why?
Who's going to remember a name like Benny Goodman?
A moment from the 1956 Benny Goodman story. He kept the name. Many jazz fans hate jazz biopics, biographical movies, and with good reason. Performers' lives get heavily compressed and fictionalized, and musicians who appear as themselves are made to say and do silly things. Personally, I like biopics, recognizing they're biographical fictions, not documentaries. I like seeing what true stuff gets in or gets left out, what gets invented when the true story would do, and how messy lives get squeezed into stock story formulas. And yet, it's surprising how much most biopics get right, if only because facts can be squeezed into dialogue when the action veers off course. In the Benny Goodman story, his booking agent's terse updates keep us apprised of the band leader's early breakthroughs.
Hey, talk about busy fellows, you're going to be one, Benny. Deal is closed for the Congress Hotel. It looks like you're booked solid with one-night stands all the way from here to Chicago.
How about New York?
Oh, there's some interest there, too.
In the more ambitious biopics, invented scenes aim to reveal some higher truth. In 2016's Born to be Blue, after a beatdown leaves Chet Baker unable to play trumpet, Ethan Hawke's Chet retreats to his parents' farm in Oklahoma to recuperate in coldly beautiful wintertime. This poetic interlude speaks to Chet Baker's Oklahoma roots, but his parents had left there when he was 10. They'd been living in Redondo Beach. Some biopics go big. As the director and star of another one from 2016 put it,
if you're going to tell a story, come with some attitude, man. Don't be all corny with this.
That's Don Cheadle channeling Miles Davis and declaring his intentions as the director of Miles Ahead. Many Miles fans hated that biopic for focusing on the trumpeter's druggy, reclusive years of the 1970s. But there are extended flashbacks to his earlier prime when Natty Miles plays ballads as love letters to his woman. The split narrative underscores the sweet and sour sides of his personality. Radical shifts in tone, plus a frame story, and a final scene where Cheadle's Miles jams with a pan-generational dream band all speak to Miles Davis's compulsion to keep reinventing himself. Most jazz biopics give you a sense of the artist's music via historical recordings or newly recorded solos by a living subject or through skillful mimicry. One reason I don't like Lady Sings the Blues is Diana Ross barely gives you a clue what the real Billie Holiday sounded like. Even in the ridiculous Danny Kaye biopic of cornetist Red Nichols, The Five Pennies, you hear the real Nichols when the character picks up the horn. And the real Red gets to trade licks with guest star Louis Armstrong. In The Five Pennies, disciplined studio pro Red Nichols turns into leering, compulsive entertainer Danny Kaye. It's not the only 50s biopic where the subject morphs into the actor. In St. Louis Blues, staid composer W.C. Handy becomes a suave, singing pianist very like star Nat King Cole. In the Gene Krupa story, the drummer smokes pot, has trouble dealing with early success, and makes the gossip columns with his self-indulgent antics, like the film star Sal Mineo.
That stuff not only threw my timing off, but it made my sticks kind of slippery. And all right, so if there's a rap for having messed with this stuff once, I guess I got it coming to me. But those reefers were not mine.
Starting in the 1980s, with Bird about Charlie Parker, jazz biopics got more loose and creative, scrambling chronological order. We also start seeing jazz tales with unreliable narrators. The title of a 1991 biopic is a tell, Bix, an interpretation of a legend. The mostly kinda accurate story of doom cornetist Bix Beiderbecke is told in flashback by violinist Joe Venuti. In the real world, Venuti was a notorious practical joker, so the made-up stuff might all be his invention, leaving the filmmakers with clean hands. In 2019's Bolden, jazz pioneer Buddy Bolden wastes away in a mental hospital trying to piece together his long-ago career and inserting fanciful details, just as other folks spread tall tales about the real Buddy. Bolden freely mixes man and myth, like movies about, say, Wyatt Earp. In fact, classic westerns make a good parallel with jazz biopics. Melodramas and morality tales set in an imagined past, where the facts are twisted as needed, but with better music.
Kevin Whitehead's new book is called Play the Way You Feel, The Essential Guide to Jazz Stories on Film.